All righty. Well, it is time for Student Phenology, and funding for Student Phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by our own Charlie Mitchell, and our first report comes from our phenology coordinator, Charlie herself, near Marine on St. Croix.
Good morning, John and Heidi. This is Charlie reporting from the Marine on St. Croix area. In last week's Season Watch newsletter, I wrote about a patch of wild strawberries that are growing around along the road near my house. I've been scarfing down handfuls every time I pass by, and I've been passing by a lot more now that I know that they're there. Here's part of what I wrote. These aren't the strawberries you find at the store. They are wild, with an incredible concentration of sweetness, flavor, and nutrients stuffed into a berry barely the size of the tip of your pinky finger. Wild strawberries spring up on their own in sunny, sandy areas, and through the alchemy of photosynthesis, create nature's candy from nothing more than sunlight, soil, water, and a visit from a passing pollinator. These small, sweet gifts from Mama Nature are enhanced by my neighbor, whose sharp eye noticed the strawberry patch and avoided mowing over it. I suspect from the size of the patch that my neighbors have also encouraged the strawberries to flourish. In gratitude for their guardianship, my wife and I make a point to pick some berries and drop them off next door. Our time spent crouched by the road harvesting the berries is the best gift we can give in return. To the strawberries themselves, we give some time weeding the patch and handing a strawberry or two to folks passing by. Hopefully, the extra sun will keep the strawberry bed healthy in years to come, and the extra awareness from our neighbors will encourage other folks to pay attention and delight in the little gifts of nature. Unfortunately, as I was writing that piece on Friday before sending out the newsletter, the county roads crew came by our street and mowed half the patch to the ground. I can't blame them. They're just doing their job, and roads need maintenance to stay roads, and I use our roads all the time. But seeing all those ripe berries and healthy plants lying shredded on the roadside and the berries smashed into the soil was just heartbreaking to see. I know they're just strawberries and half the patch is still thriving. I'm sure they'll recover by next year, and I'm sure that the same thing happened last year when I wasn't looking at the plants and hadn't noticed them. But in the short month that I've cared for these strawberries, I've gotten attached to them and started to see the world from their perspective. Loving nature, and especially observing nature, can be a double-edged sword. When you notice these small things, they start to matter to you. The strawberries become part of my community, another friendly neighbor to greet me as I move through my day. Unfortunately, being observant also means you grieve when those wild friends are sickened or destroyed, and try to protect them better in the future. It reminds me of a time when we visited the school together, John. We were out standing in a field on a cold day in March with a bunch of students. You were explaining something about a nearby pine tree. Some of the kids had ended up standing in a patch of thorny brush that was catching at their snow pants. One kid with really big snow boots started stomping on all the thorn bushes, trying to beat them down. You saw the disturbance, went over to look, and realized that they were stomping on raspberry plants, the same plants that they would be delighted to find thriving in 6 short months. As soon as the students realized what they were destroying, they moved 10 feet to the left, where they could stand without thorns or without having to stomp on anything. I saw a few of them risking their fingers to help prop up and reposition the same thorny plants they'd been trying to eliminate just 1 minute ago. It's really brought home to me how important John's approach to phenology has been to me and to our students and listeners. To observe nature closely is to learn about it, to care about it, to connect with it, and to want to protect it. Something about working with John has given me permission not just to observe nature from an objective, scientific distance, but to connect with it. My life is richer for it. Thank you, John. Have a great morning.
Charlie, that was truly eloquent, and thank you for all of those kind words. You just never know. you might be cutting off your nose to spite your face. It can happen. It has happened, me included. So, yeah, the strawberries, what a wonderful thing. I haven't found any ripe strawberries yet, but I have not been looking at sunny south-facing hillsides either. There was one on my mail route that for years always had ripe strawberries, and for some reason, my car always rolled up to a stop there in the middle of June, and I just don't know. No mailbox nearby, but oh well. Gee, I might get out and have a look. Oh gosh, are these edible? Yeah, you can eat anything once. And strawberries, you can go back and have more. Our next report comes from Outdoor Explorers Family Camp at Long Lake Conservation Center. This is their first camp of the summer season.
Hello, this is
Zoe
and Layton. During our trip to Long Lake Conservation Center on June 8th through the 11th, the cold and damp weather turned to sunny and warm with a low temperature of 45 degrees Fahrenheit and a high of 77. There were baby critters about, including a baby beaver on the lake and a few tiny baby chipmunks on campus. We noticed that the chipmunks were unusually friendly, approaching to within a few feet of us. One of the highlights of the trip was learning about dragonflies and damselflies. From Ron and Lee Plinsky, we netted, examined, and released more than 20 different dragonflies and one damselfly. Most of the dragonflies were chalk-fronted corporals and dot-tailed white-faced dragonflies. While we were catching dragonflies, some in our group were collecting forest tent caterpillars, also known as army worms. There were lots and lots of them. The baby birds should have plenty to eat.
In the bog, black spruce trees are budding. There are still lots of pink ladies' slippers and new flowers popping up on the pitcher plants. Most of the flowers are flowers, but a few are open. We also saw a garter snake on the edge of the bog. On campus, we saw two woodchucks, a painted turtle in the garden, and a wide variety of birds on the feeders, including woodpeckers and male and female goldfinches. We also saw a leopard frog on the beach. Monarch and higa swallowtail butterflies and speeder bugs. In the lake, we saw a snapping turtle, tumber swans, and a Canada goose. And we found the loon's nest near the beaver lodge. Mom was sitting on the nest, crouching down low to hide and protect her eggs if necessary. Our group went to the pollinator field to count bumblebees. Spent half an hour searching, we only found one. There was some cold weather and not a lot of flowers was probably the reason. We had a great time exploring nature with our family and new friends. And we want to remind everyone to unplug, get outside, and
live connected.
Thank you very much. Live connected indeed. I'm blessed to be connected with all of you who are passing along all of your observations. Thanks, Ron and Leanne, for doing the work there with the dragonflies. It's pretty exciting. I do a lot of teaching about dragonflies as well, and they are a really amazing animal. So if you have the chance, do a little digging and do a little research. Find out a little bit more about dragonflies and start observing them. You will not be disappointed. They are absolutely gorgeous. They just are colored so amazingly that it is hard not to get excited by them. Our next report comes from Axel and Pearl Newstock from Grand Rapids.
Hi, this is Axel.
And Pearl Newstock. At our cabin, there are lilacs still in bloom.
Papa saw one monarch.
And there are pileated woodpeckers.
And eagle chicks.
We went to the Pennington Bog with John Latimer and saw Labrador tea.
Showy lady slipper buds about to burst.
And spiderwort.
And little yellow lady slippers with brown steeple and brown spots called moccasins.
We're leaving for camp. See you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Yeah, they're on their way to camp. Sounds like, you live in Memphis, you come to northern Minnesota, and then you go away to camp in Colorado. Axel wasn't ready to go. He was happy to be here and do the things that he likes to do around here, but he'll have fun at camp.
Will.
There are lots of things that go on. He said that they get to do archery, which he really liked. So they will be having, I'm sure they're in camp already and having a good time. And we always welcome news from them and from anyone. If you are out there and you are doing a little exploring, by all means, pass along your notes. We would love to hear from you. It's pretty simple.
We've got some more nature notes that have been coming in. Especially We want you to, if you're on Instagram, something you might want to follow is the Little Falls Middle School. They have a great phenology page. And John and I have been taking a look at some of those photos.
Yeah.
Like the bumblebee and a bittersweet nightshade.
Yes. The bittersweet nightshade is sort of a reflexed flower, purple with a bright yellow center, probably growing in your garden right now. Maybe not blooming yet, but soon.
And Amur maple flowers.
Yep. Amur.
Okay. Funnel web.
Yeah. The spider that makes the, check your lawn this morning with the humidity, that way every spider web will be draped in dew, and you'll have a really easy opportunity to see the little funnel web spider nets that they lay down on the grass and the little hole where they disappear. And if you want some real thrills, put your finger in the hole.
Lots of photos they sent, or they have on their Instagram feed. And then one is the winged carpenter ant.
Yeah, this is the time of year when the carpenter ants send out their elites, their male and female.
Are they the biters? Because I ran into some biting ants this year that really made me angry.
I suspect that any ant, if you abuse it long enough, will bite you. And sometimes the abuse is just, you know, an insulting word. But
I was just trying to weed, and I didn't realize there were all these ants. And suddenly I'm, you know.
Probably not carpenter ants. Carpenter ants like trees. They like wood, like houses. They don't eat dry wood. They need moisture. So they're not going to be like hanging out in a normal dry wood house. That's not their usual hangout. But if you build your house out of green wood, you might get carpenter ants in there, and then you'll have a nice little game to play with them. The interesting thing about the carpenter ants is that they're the ones that cause the pileated woodpeckers to chop away at the base of the trees in March and April. They start getting active down at the trunk, the base of the tree, and if they're in the tree, and oftentimes it can be, I've seen tamarack and birch and jack pine and balsam fir and white spruce. So they don't seem to be selective in where they go, but they will come and dine on any of that wet wood. And if the pileated woodpeckers hear them crunching away in the early spring, they will go right down to the base of the tree and drill a hole right at the ground level and get in there and eat some of those carpenter ants.
Boy, speaking of woodpeckers, the red-bellied woodpeckers are certainly vocal right now at our house. Holy cow, they are talking.
Yeah, they've got a really interesting call that's pretty easy. It's sort of a chirr, chirr.
Yeah.
And you can hear them. They're definitely making a ruckus at my house as well.
We heard from Liberty from Foston. She said, happy birthday to Sheila Shuley, the best granny ever. She is 73.
Hey, happy birthday, Sheila. Yeah.
And then we got a text in from Daryl in Tamarack. Once again, enjoyed John's discussion. It might be interesting for me to learn his philosophical perspective on the cycle of life and death. Example, one day I watch turtles lay eggs. The next day I see that the skunks and others have left empty shells.
Everybody likes an omelet. it's the nature of things.
That's your philosophy? Everybody loves an omelet.
It's like if that system got out of balance, there would be no more turtles, right? The skunks and the fox and the raccoon and my dog and everybody who likes an omelet would wipe out the turtles, but they don't. They haven't. So there's kind of, you know, some are going to get sacrificed, and it's always disappointing. What I do is I take a cement block, you know, with the voids, the open chambers, and I set it down so that open chamber is right over the hole, right over where she laid her eggs. And then I leave it till about mid-August. And in mid-August, I go back and take the block off.
Oh.
And they can't, the skunks and the raccoons won't go down and dig those nests out. And then when I take the block away, the smell has gone away and they don't know that they're there. And so I just assume that that's helping the turtles. But no matter how you cut it, the turtles are, you know, they're not, they're still turtles. So yeah, it's unfortunate. I feel the same sort of grief when I see that happen, but I know too that they aren't going to wipe out the turtles.
We heard from Vincent. He texted in. He's from Lafayette, Indiana. He says, I've got a silly amount of box elder bugs, hundreds. And he says, I find being bit by ants exhilarating. I disturbed a bunch of them last night in the garden, little brown ones. I've got a tomato set on one plant. Husky, he said, the kind, it must be the kind of tomato. And then he's also wishing Sheila a happy birthday, which is very nice. Thanks so much. You can text in 218-326-1234.
I heard from my friend Paul, who lives up on Smith Lake. He said 1.1 inches of rain at Smith. And then he asks, do water lilies go through high and low cycles? And apparently the development of the water lilies on Smith is a little bit retarded this year. I don't know. On my lake, I'm really shallow. My lake is really, really shallow, much shallower than Smith Lake. And I see, well, honestly, I haven't done a real good survey. There just seems like there are lots of them out there. So it's kind of an interesting.
We also heard from our friend Ruth from Grand Rapids.
Oh.
Ruth says, I call the red brown ants fire ants. They are invasive and very aggressive. Heidi, if you have them, get rid of them fast. We did. We put some stuff on them. And John, the wild roses bloomed in my yard on June 15th.
Yeah. Ruth had sent along an interesting thing. She saw a doe chasing a fox. And she said the fox had something in its mouth, but she didn't see, first of all, you know, she thought maybe it was the fawn of the doe, but the truth be told, a fawn, even a newly born fawn, is about the same size as a fox. Now, that doesn't mean the fox couldn't kill it and haul it away, but if a fox were hauling away a fawn, you would notice it would be a large, large animal relative to the size of the fox. So I think maybe, I don't know. I doubt that the fox was taking away the fawn, but the doe didn't want the fox around, and that's for sure. And she was giving it the what for. And if you're a fox and you're smart, you won't mess with the doe because she'll kick the snot out of you, starting with your nose and working back.